Take your Bibles and turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans, the first chapter. And the Apostle Paul, brilliant and bold, had a desire in his heart from the very beginning of his conversion experience to get the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news that saved him, to the rest of the world. And so he writes Christians in Rome this Roman letter, the book of Romans. It's been called the gospel according to Romans because it is a pure presentation of the gospel, that the just shall live by faith, our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And at the outset, he commends the Roman believers for their faith in Christ. As a matter of fact, verse 8 is one of my favorite verses in chapter 1. It speaks of this particular band of believers in Rome, that their faith is known throughout the whole world. Don't you love that? Don't you pray that our faith would be known throughout the whole world, and that we would be busy about this big task of fulfilling the Great Commission in our lifetime until Christ comes again. It's possible. It's the glorious impossible that is possible in our own times, that we could actually in our own day finish the Great Commission. But it will take bold believers, bodacious followers of the Lord Jesus Christ to accomplish this. And so the message today is a motivation to find your mission, to discover what God has called each and every one of us to do together for the gospel. We are here today because of the gospel. We are together in this place for the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the gospel, because of the gospel, and for the gospel. And the deeper we grow in our faith, the longer we walk with Christ, our desire to share Jesus should not diminish, but increase. We should have a greater passion for this greater purpose of our lives. In verses 14, 15, and 16, Paul gives us three I ams that I want to show you today. You might even say the I gospel. I am under obligation, verse 14. I am under obligation both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the foolish. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul is saying, personally, I'm committed to sharing the gospel. He said, I am obligated. I am a debtor. In other words, I am responsible. And then he said, I'm eager. I am ready to go with this gospel, to expand the kingdom of God, to bring people to Jesus. And then he said, I am resolved. I am not ashamed of this gospel. I'm going to keep going until and sharing this gospel unto my last breath. And that's what Paul did. He said, first of all, I am responsible. Say that with me. I am responsible. He said, I am under obligation. I am personally responsible. And not only the Apostle Paul, who was a missionary, not only those missionaries who serve around the world today, not only those pastors and professionals, but rather every one of us. We are all personally responsible. I can't do your witnessing for you. You cannot do your witnessing for me. We are all accountable. We are all responsible with the gospel. We have been given the Great Commission. We have been given our marching orders. It is clear. Our commander-in-chief has said, go into all the world and make disciples. There's no debating that. These are the last words of Jesus before he ascended to heaven. This is what he has called and commissioned us to do. Thus, it is called the Great Commission. We are soldiers under command, but we are also slaves under orders to the master. Paul described himself in verse 1. As a servant, a slave of Jesus Christ. The word that he uses in Romans 1:1 is bond slave, doulos. One who was indentured to the master. totally subservient to the master. Nobody's talking much about being a slave to Jesus these days, but that's exactly who we are and what we are. We are slaves to the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we have an indebtedness to pay. We have a responsibility to fulfill. Why? First of all, because he has given us so much. We have been purchased by his blood. What, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? You have been purchased by the blood of Christ. Therefore, glorify God in your body, which is the Lord's. What do we sing? All to Jesus. Every debt I owe. Lord, I owe everything to you, my life, my soul, my all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Because of what he has done for us, we have a responsibility to lift him up. This is the price that we pay. This is the cost of discipleship. Not too many people today talking about the cost of discipleship. He said, I am a debtor. I am responsible. But not only are we in debt to Christ, but we are in debt to those who have come before us. Our mothers and fathers in faith. Those who led us to Jesus. Those who have invested their lives in us. Think about the fact that you are standing on the shoulders of those who have come before us. Generations before, who have been faithful to pass the gospel on. In your own family or a friend that shared Christ with you. This church is not here by accident. These buildings didn't just pop out of the ground. People gave, people sacrificed, people built. People made it possible for us to be here this morning. We have an indebtedness to give back, not just to take, but to give. I heard about a little boy came in wide-eyed to his mother and said, Mother, you remember that vase, that precious vase, that costly vase, that very special vase that's been in our family for hundreds of years, that vase that's been passed from generation to generation in our family? She said, yes, son, what happened? He said, this generation just dropped it. Our generation, this generation must not drop the ball. We must give and go. And if someone led you to Christ, family member, friend, a pastor, a loved one, you ought to write them a letter. Send them an email at this Christmas season. It would be the greatest gift. Every now and then, in fact, I'm grateful. So often I receive letters from people, whether it's by the television ministry or from churches that we've served. I received one last week from our church down in Florida that we were there 25 years ago, and yet a man went to heaven and his wife was saying, you led him to Christ. Nothing makes my day more than that. Somebody led you to Christ. Someone encouraged you in your faith and built you up to follow Christ. You ought to give thanks to them and follow their example. Those of you who are watching by television, someone is giving so this program could be on the air. Someone is sacrificing so that you can hear the gospel. We have an indebtedness to those who have come before us. We are responsible. But not only that, to the world at large, we have this indebtedness to people. Paul said, look at verse 14, he said, I am under obligation to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both the cultured and the uncultured. The word barbarian is an onomatopoeia. Remember that from English class? It's a word that sounds like itself. Barbarians. Because they didn't speak very well and didn't smell very good. They were uncouth and unkept. People mocked them saying, bar, 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 bar. Barbarians. You know, kind of like, woo, 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 like that. He said, to the culture, to the uncultured, to the Greeks who were highly sophisticated and educated, and those who are uneducated, the whole world needs to know Jesus. He said, I am devoted and dedicated. And if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, not just a fan of Jesus, but a follower of Jesus Christ, you have this certain responsibility. And together, we can do this in the power of the Holy Spirit. I say together because there are no exceptions. No exceptions, that we are to be all in. And if you are not sharing your faith, if you're not going with the gospel in the name of Jesus, then you are committing a sin. There are sins of commission, those things that we shouldn't do that we do. But then there are the sins of omission, those things that God has told us to do, commanded us to do, that we don't do. These are sins of omission. And statistically, we're told that 95% of the church members in America have never led a soul to faith in Jesus Christ. Thankfully, we do better than that at our church. We're grateful for every person who's sharing their faith. And remember, as Bill Bright said, Campus Crusade founder, witnessing is sharing Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the results to God. But if you're sharing your faith, the results will come. You will bear fruit. God has called us to go and bear fruit and much fruit and more fruit. And so, are you responsible? How are you doing? Are you sharing your faith? If I ask us to be honest before God and raise our hands, I'm not going to do that. But if I ask you to raise your hand today, if you've ever learned, personally led a person to faith in Jesus Christ, could you lift your hand? It's hard enough sometimes to get Christians to even invite someone to church. Paul said, I am under obligation. But he said something else. He said in verse 15, I am ready to come to those of you who are in Rome. Now Rome, he said, I am ready. He said, now Rome was the belly of the beast, the powerful imperial dominance of Rome in the known world, certainly there in Israel, and all over Europe at that time, Rome was totally in power. Caesar was viewed as a god, as Lord. If you would not say Caesar is Lord, you could be executed on the spot, and Christians were martyred because they refused to recant their faith to say Jesus is Lord. And so Paul was saying, I'm ready to go right to Rome. And I am propelled by this passion and this eagerness. I love that word, eager. He said, I'm eager. Can't wait. Get up every day thinking about it. Go to bed every night praying about it. Take every breath for the purpose and the passion of the gospel. Can we say that? Can we grow to that? To say, I'm ready to go, ready to give, ready to go, ready to stay, ready to do God's will, whatever it takes. Are we willing to say, Lord, your will, anywhere, anytime, any cost? That's what Paul was saying. He was saying, I am abandoned to the gospel. I am given over to this gospel. So what if God would call you to do something totally different with your life right now, today? I'm talking about leaving your career and going somewhere in the name of Jesus for the gospel. Now, frankly, for most of us, your career, whatever you do, is your calling. It's your platform for sharing the gospel. Your profession is your pulpit. And that's a great thing if you're doing that. But I also know, it's happened here on numerous occasions through the years, that God is calling some of you, disrupting your plans and changing your ambitions and your aim in life. I'm talking to some young men that God is calling you to preach the gospel. You've got all these ideas about you want to do, what you want to do, what you think you're going to do, but God's calling you to preach the gospel, to be a pastor of a church, to lead a congregation. Or God's calling some young lady here today to go and be a servant of Christ in his church full time, or to be a missionary for Christ. And don't just say, yeah, that's great for all the kids. God's calling some adults to do the same thing. Some of you who are adults, you've lived for success and you've achieved some success in your life, but you're wondering, is this all there is? What am I going to do with the rest of my life? And now you're praying that God would give you something significant to do with the rest of your life. May I recommend the gospel? Give your life to the gospel. I'm just saying that God is calling some in this congregation, some of you watching by television, watching on the internet, online right now, God is calling you, disrupting your life, turning your life upside down because he wants to get you going for something unique and different and totally radical in your life. Because you live and breathe to share Jesus Christ. Are you at God's disposal? Is God calling you? There's never been a better time to share Christ, to share the gospel. There are amazing open doors due to travel opportunities. And of course, we know through our church's partnership and world missions that we can go around the world, whether it's Amazon or Sudan or Romania, Europe, across America, we can go with the gospel. We can travel there. Technology is available to us today. You know, there are over 400 people in our church that are online missionaries through an organization adopted by Campus Crusade for Christ, and that 400 of our people are joining thousands of people around the world sharing the gospel over the internet. And Joe Perry, our director of missions, our minister of missions, was just telling me that hundreds of thousands of people are coming to faith online and are requesting materials about how to grow in their faith. Amazing opportunities. God's calling some of you to be an online missionary. And Joe was telling me many of these onliners sharing their faith said, you know, I was so frightened to share my gospel. I couldn't bring myself to talk to anyone about Jesus. But since I've been online and talking about Jesus, now I'm just so into sharing Christ with people that I meet day to day. But beyond that, people are coming to Christ around the world by the thousands. I requested some numbers from our missions department, growth stats. Here they are. There are currently 60 to 80 million Christians in China with between 10,000 and 25,000 converts a day. China. The number of Christians in Indonesia has grown from 1.3 million 40 years ago to over 11 million today. The Jesus film, a great film about Jesus, has been translated into nearly 1,000 languages, and over 200 million people have indicated decisions for Christ as a result of just that one film. No Christian was officially allowed to live in Nepal until 1960. Now there's a church in every one of the 75 districts of Nepal with estimates of over 500,000 believers. About 500 Muslims come to faith in Christ every month in Iran, a country ranked among the top 10 persecutors of Christians in the world. Many of the new believers are young, since 70% of Iran is under the age of 30. How about this one? Every day, 20,000 Africans come to Christ. Today, Africa was 3% Christian in 1900 and is now over 50% Christian. We're working in the Sudan. We have folks that are committed to sharing the gospel in Sudan and training pastors there to share the gospel, reproducing ourselves. Prestonwood is getting ready to change the face of Sudan. Why? Not just because we're going, but because we're going and training pastors, and those pastors are going everywhere across the Sudan and sharing Christ. Joe Perry was with a group of these recently. 41 pastors that were being trained and going with the gospel into the villages to share the gospel. And the leader of the group said, at least half of these will die for their faith. Joe said, excuse me? Yes, half of these are going knowing that they will die for their faith, but they're going in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, the doors are wide open. Wide open. Jesus said in John 4:35, "Do you not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Open doors, opportunities unprecedented. And we must be flexible and available. The greatest ability is availability. To say, Lord, here I am, send me. How long has it been since you prayed that prayer? Lord, here am I, send me. Steve Jobs, when Apple Computers was just developing, was trying to hire a man from a well-known executive from the Pepsi company. His name was Scully, John Scully. Jobs was working him hard, and I understand that Steve Jobs could be quite persuasive. But to no avail. John Scully was comfortable, and he wasn't leaving Pepsi for this fledgling startup Apple computer thing. But Jobs finally hit him with his best punch. He said, "John, you want to spend the rest of your life selling sugared water, or do you want to change the world?" Scully could never get over that. He said, "I'm coming in." And Apple Computer changed the world of technology. You want to spend the rest of your life in trivial pursuits, or do you want to be a part of changing the world together for the gospel? The great missionary David Livingstone said, "I will go anywhere as long as it is forward and God is with me. I'll go anywhere as long as it's forward and God is with me." Say with me, I am ready. And then there's one other thing. One other motivation for missions in our lives together and your life personally. He said, "I am not ashamed. I am resolved." Verse 16, such a great verse. I often, when I sign my name on a letter or something, I sign Romans 1:16 beside it. It's a life verse for me, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God into salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. In other words, to the whole world. Jews, Greeks, barbarians, cultured, Romans, everyone. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed." Literally, to be not ashamed there means to be totally confident in the power of this gospel. Because we know the gospel will change lives. The gospel will make the pure, impure, pure. The gospel dynamite, the power, the dunamis there, it will blow the hate out of a person's heart. The gospel will blow and ignite a blow up and ignite a family to serve and to follow Christ. The gospel has power. Years ago, there was a fellow who went up to Arkansas, up in the hills of Arkansas, to sell vacuum cleaners. He got there, he was so proud of his product, he said to the lady who answered the door up, you know, in one of those hillbilly houses, this lady said, "Welcome." He said, "Well, I'm selling vacuum cleaners." She said, "No, thanks." He said, let me give you a demonstration. I guarantee, I promise you." He said, "You see that fireplace over there and all that, those ashes and all that soot and everything is in that fireplace? I'm telling you, if this vacuum cleaner doesn't suck up all that soot and every bit of that dirt in there, that I'll eat it with a spoon myself." Lady said, "Well, you better get that spoon because we ain't got no electricity around here. Hate it when my product doesn't work, right? But our product is the gospel. Works. Changes lives. Therefore, we are not ashamed." Paul knew he would face opposition and persecution. Ultimately, he would die. Put his head on the chopping block and died a martyr's death. Why? Why would a man do this? Why would a Sudanese say, "I know I'm going to die, but I'm going anyway"? Why would anyone do that? Because it's not about me. It's all about Jesus. Why would a man leave a comfortable position and profession and start a ministry in the inner city of this town? Why would a man do that? Because it's not about us, it's about him. It's about the gospel. Today we face opposition. We don't face much persecution here in this country. We do face opposition. Someone said we are living in an ABC culture. What's an ABC culture? Anything but Christ. Seems that you can promote any idea, any bizarre thing, including religion. Anything but Christ. You start talking about Jesus, and you're told to stop it or to tone it down. Tim Tebow is becoming God's quarterback. Heisman Trophy winner from the University of Florida, and you know, people said, well, he can't play pro football. He throws it sideways half the time. Can't complete passes. Can't. His own general manager said, we're probably going to look for another quarterback. He can't, third downs are not good and so on. Well, all he's done is go 5-1 with the Denver Broncos. And along the way, he's given all the glory to Jesus Christ. To the degree that some people, even some who claim to be Christians, are uncomfortable with Tim Tebow's unashamed, unapologetic profession and confession of his faith. In fact, a day after one of the big victories and Tebow had said something about Jesus, Jake Plummer said in a radio interview, a former Denver quarterback, said he wished the man currently taking the snaps in Denver, Tim Tebow, would curb his references to Jesus Christ and his faith. Tebow responded politely and respectfully, but on a radio interview on ESPN, here's what Tim said. If you're married and you really love your wife, is it good enough to only say to your wife, I love her, the day you get married? Or should you tell her every single day when you wake up and every opportunity? My relationship with Jesus Christ is the most important thing in my life. So anytime I get an opportunity to tell him that I love him, or given an opportunity to shout him out on national TV, I'm going to take that opportunity. And so I look at it as a relationship that I have with him, that I want to give him the honor and glory anytime I have the opportunity. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, says Tebow. And let me tell you something. The problem is for most of us, that we need to tone it down. Most of us, we need to tune it up. We need to start talking about Jesus. Now, today, a lot of people say, well, you know, what I do, I just sort of live for Jesus, and I just serve him, and, you know, and hope that people somehow come to Christ. Look, we must not only show the gospel, we must say the gospel. The gospel of a God who loves us and gave his only son to come to earth, to die on the cross, to rise again on the third day, to proclaim the good news that Jesus is Lord to the whole earth. You say, even to people of different religions? Yes. Even to people who worship idols and false gods and deities? Yes. You say, would it hurt their feelings if we tell them they're wrong? Wouldn't it be cruel to go to these countries and tell people, or to go into a city and tell someone that they're living under the wrath of God and need to be saved? Isn't that cruel? No, it's cruel not to tell them. We're to sow the seeds of the gospel. That word means to broadcast. How many of you, when you want to get some news, you turn on the television set for the news and then you mute it so that you can't hear it? Oh, I think I'll just watch the news. No, you turn the news on for somebody to tell you what's going on. We're to broadcast the gospel. There was a saint, it's attributed to this saint, that he said, and some say he really didn't say this, but regardless, it's reported that this particular saint said, and you've heard this, it's being passed around on Twitter and everywhere else today, a statement, something like this. It says, preach the gospel and when necessary, use words. Let me tell you something. It's always necessary to use words. Now, yes, we demonstrate the gospel. Yes, Jesus cares about the sick and those who need water. And our mission ministries, we're providing water for people. We're providing medical care. We're doing all of that. But it's all in the name of Jesus and all for the sake of the gospel. People need more than good advice. They need good news. People need more than good deeds. They need good news in Jesus Christ. That they can be forgiven, saved by the power of God. This is our job. And it's our joy. Nothing will energize you more in your life than to share the gospel of Christ and see people come to Christ through your influence and your witness. You're wondering what to do with the rest of your life. You get up and think, oh, it's just another day. You turn your life, whatever you do, as a mission for Christ and sharing the gospel, and you'll have a purpose to get up every single day. You'll not be waiting for the alarm clock to drag you out of bed to get you going, but you'll get up every day hearing the call of God, hearing the trumpets of God to go in Jesus' name. I'm telling you, I am resolved. Tell this good news. I'm not ashamed that our church, this church, Prestonwood, is known as a missionary evangelistic church. Sometimes churches like ours can be criticized. Well, they're too evangelistic, or they're too aggressive with the gospel, or they're too shallow, implying that we're too big. You know, we just get people here because we got whatever. I unapologetically say that this church core, in the heart, in the character of who we are is unapologetically, unashamedly committed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's who we are. That's what we're about. The discipleship follows. Yes, we do discipleship. Duh, we do discipleship. We started a school to train up a brand new generation. We have hundreds of small groups and Bible study classes. We have ministries to Christians galore. Sometimes I think we've got too much programming that gets us all distracted going in other directions rather than staying laser beam focused on the gospel. See, it happened to churches all the time. We get lazy and lethargic. It's sort of like when you eat that big meal after Thanksgiving, you just go lay down on the couch because you're so stuffed full. You're in a carbohydrate coma. There are a lot of Christians that are in a coma. They've been fed and 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 take in and take in and take in and take in. And so they just sit on a comfortable pew while the world is going to hell. We're overfed and under-exercised spiritually, maybe physically too. And I know we are physically, spiritually. There's so many requests that we have as a church for genuine needs around the world. I hate telling people no. This offering that we're receiving for missions throughout the year and now at the end of the year, we focus on it together for the gospel. It's needed. Needed. We're not ashamed because people need to hear, and how will they hear unless we speak? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Can you walk across the room at a Christmas party this year and engage someone in a meaningful conversation about Christ and the gospel? Can you walk across the street and tell your neighbor who's been living by you for a while now that you're a Christian and why you go to church and who Jesus is? When that family member comes to the Christmas season at your home or your family, isn't it about time you say, come here a minute and step outside in the backyard and talk about Jesus? We can't all go around the world, but we can all go around the block or across the street or across the community. What a blessing it is. John MacArthur said this, every time you bring someone to Christ, you add another voice to the hallelujah chorus. I love that. You say, well, I'm not I'm not trained, I'm not prepared, and I'm a little bit nervous. It makes me anxious. It makes me tense to try to talk about Jesus like that. I understand we don't all do it the same way. We all have different personalities, but every one of us need to find the way that God gives us and use that way to get people to Christ. Every one of us. And we have the power of the gospel. We have the power of Jesus. We have His Spirit, you know. You shall be my witnesses after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The other day I was putting some new, we were putting some new technology in our home. I was getting Apple TV in there. So Justin Gray came over, who's a great IT guy and has a business. He came over and he set me all up and showed me all the buttons to push because, you know, I'm a little bit challenged in this area and it's not my expertise. So I'm writing things down because I know what's going to happen 2 days later after he leaves. I'm not going to know how to turn this stuff on. So sure enough, 2 days later, I'm trying to turn it on and nothing's happening. I knew this would happen. I get my notes, you know, I'm punching all the buttons, I'm changing everything, nothing's happening. And then a screen comes up, it says, you're not connected to the internet. And I said, yes, I am connected to the internet. No, you're not connected, I'm arguing with the television. So it's 9:30, I call Justin. I say, Justin, I tried it. I'm sorry to call you at 9:30, but you told me to call any time if I was having trouble, and I can't get this thing to come on. He said, have you tried rebooting it? I said, what? He said, yeah, just hold down, you know, like if you have an iPhone, hold down on both, you know, the little, hold down both buttons and turn it off and then reboot it, turn it back on. I said, okay. So I do that and bam, there it is. Everything just shows right up. I just needed to reboot it and to get reconnected so that it would work. If you are connected to Christ by His Spirit, if you are abiding in Him like a little branch on a vine, Jesus said, if you are empowered by the Spirit, connected to Christ, then the power will be on. Are you plugged in? Are you powered up in prayer and in the power of God's Spirit? God will enable you. God has promised to use you. He said, when you don't have the words, I'll be there to give you the words. When you're afraid, I'll be there to buoy you up, to bow you up, to do what you need to do. This is gospel dynamite. Aren't you grateful for a gospel that is for every person and every place with any problem? And with that, to say, Lord, I am responsible. Lord, I'm ready. And Lord, I am resolved. Here's my life. I'm giving it to you and to your gospel.